Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back. You know, when we think about history, it's often about big wars or famous presidents, but today we're going to look at something else, a kind of silent revolution that basically built the government you and I deal with every single day.
It really did.
We're doing a deep dive into progressivism. And we're using Walter Nugent's fantastic book, Progressivism, a very short introduction.
And that idea of building is so important. Progressivism wasn't just a political fad. It was, a whole society trying to answer the huge problems of the industrial age.
Right.
So if you want to understand any, and I mean any, major debate today, regulating big tech, climate change rules, the power of the Fed, you're basically re-arguing the legacy of the progressive era.
That's the real mission here.
Yeah.
Nugent shows us that progressivism was less a single political party and more of a sprawling society-wide effort, and sometimes a contradictory one.
Oh, definitely contradictory.
They just looked around in, say, 1900 and thought, the old rules, this tiny hands-off government, it just can't cope anymore. Okay, so let's unpack this.
But before we get into the reforms, let's talk about our guide. Who is Walter Nugent? Well, he was a truly distinguished historian, a professor emeritus at the University of Notre Dame.
So, top of his field.
Absolutely. His whole career was focused on the Gilded Age, the Progressive Era.
Mm.
He lived and breathed this stuff.
And his credentials are deep, but what makes his take so valuable, I think, is his method. He doesn't get stuck in, you know, praising or bashing the movement.
No, he's not taking sides. He uses this dual approach. On one hand, he's looking at the hard data, the numbers, the economic shifts.
Quantitative stuff.
Exactly. But he pairs that with really compelling stories. So he moves beyond just the great man narrative, you know, just talking about Roosevelt and Wilson.
Which is so refreshing. It's not just about the presidents. He shows how this whole search for order affected, like, the average person trying to survive in a crowded, chaotic city.
And that brings us right to his main argument. Nugent's central thesis is that progressivism wasn't monolithic. It wasn't one single thing.
You have to picture it more like a giant, messy coalition, right?
Yeah.
You've got temperance activists over here, city planners there, trust busters, suffragettes.
All pushing for different things, but they all shared one powerful core belief.
What was that?
That government could be a tool for good. And that it should be an active, rational instrument to fix the massive problems that came with, you know, factories and giant cities popping up everywhere.
So this is really the core insight. It was America's search for order, a way to find some kind of stable middle path.
A middle path between what, though?
Well, on one side, you had this brutal, unchecked capitalism, monopolies, exploitation, total instability.
And on the other side, you had the growing appeal of more radical ideas like socialism, which frankly scared a lot of people.
So the progressives weren't revolutionaries trying to tear it all down?
Not at all. They were reformers. They wanted to save capitalism and democracy from their own excesses by making the system more fair and more stable.
So the book traces this whole movement from its first sparks in the 1890s through its peak with Roosevelt and Wilson, and then shows how its DNA is basically in everything that came after, like the New Deal and, well, our world today.
Okay, so let's drill down into the context. You really have to feel the crisis to understand why this happened. Nugent called it the three I's.
Industrialization, immigration, and urbanization.
And this wasn't just growth, it was chaos. I mean, total uncontrolled chaos.
Industrialization created these corporate monsters, the trusts, like Standard Oil, that were more powerful than governments. They could literally fix prices and crush competitors without anyone to stop them.
And at the same time, cities were just exploding, unplanned, overcrowded. You had these tenements packed with people, horrible sanitation, constant disease.
And the government was what? Just watching this happen.
The government was tiny. And the parts that did exist were often completely corrupt, run by political bosses like Tammany Hall in New York, who are basically getting rich off the chaos.
So the old idea of a small, limited government just wasn't working.
It was totally inadequate. And that vacuum of power created what Nugent calls the progressive impulse. People rushed in, driven by this desperate search for order, believing that modern problems needed modern solutions.
Okay, but an impulse isn't enough. Where do they get the ideas, the blueprint for these solutions?
Nugent points to two main sources. First, something called the social gospel.
What was that?
It was a movement inside Protestant churches. It basically said that focusing only on individual salvation wasn't enough. Christians had a moral duty to fix society's problems, to fight poverty, to clean up the slums.
So it was a moral engine for reform.
A huge moral engine. And that fused with the second big idea, a massive new faith in science and expertise.
The belief that you could solve social problems like they were engineering problems.
Exactly. That you could study poverty or corruption, analyze it, and design a rational, expert-led solution. This is where the idea of government run by nonpartisan professionals really takes off.
And to get these ideas into the mainstream, they needed messengers.
Enter the muckrakers. These were the great investigative journalists of their day. They used mass market magazines to expose the ugly truth about corporate greed and political corruption to the middle class.
And the most famous example has to be Upton Sinclair's book, The Jungle.
A perfect example. Sinclair wanted to write a book about the horrible exploitation of immigrant workers in the Chicago meatpacking plants. He was aiming for the public's heart.
But he hit them somewhere else.
He hit them in the stomach. People were horrified by his descriptions of, you know, spoiled meat, chemicals, and rats being ground into sausage.
And the public reaction was explosive.
It was immediate. It basically forced President Roosevelt to push for the Pure Food and Drug Act and the Meat Inspection Act of 1906. It proved that journalism could be a powerful check on both corporations and government.
So beyond just exposing problems, they had to fix the political system itself. A huge goal was to stamp out corruption and give more power to the average citizen.
This is where we get some major political changes, starting with the 17th Amendment.
Right. And for anyone who doesn't remember their high school civics,
yeah.
Before this amendment, you didn't vote for your U.S. senators.
No, they were chosen by your state legislature.
Which meant that powerful corporate interests, like the railroad trusts, could just bribe or control a handful of state politicians to pick the senator they wanted.
So the 17th Amendment cut out the middleman. It gave the power of electing senators directly to the people, making them way more accountable.
And you see that same impulse in local reforms, like the initiative and the referendum, which let citizens propose and vote on laws directly.
It was all about breaking the power of those corrupt political machines.
And for a perfect case study of this at the state level, Nugent points to Robert La Follette's Wisconsin idea.
This was revolutionary at the time.
It really was. La Follette, as governor, brought in experts from the University of Wisconsin, economists, scientists, sociologists, to help write the laws.
So instead of letting lobbyists for the railroad companies write the railroad regulations,
he had impartial university experts do it. It was this perfect marriage of democracy and expertise, and it became a model for the whole country.
And all this energy eventually reached the national level. Under Roosevelt, you had the famous trust busking, breaking up monopolies. And under Wilson, you get the creation of the financial system we still have today.
Yeah, think about it. The Federal Reserve System, created in 1913 to manage the nation's money and prevent financial panics.
And the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, to act as a watchdog against unfair business practices.
And of course, the huge victory for democracy.
Yeah.
The 19th Amendment, finally giving women the right to vote.
Those are massive, undeniable achievements. But, and this is where Nugent is so good. He forces us to confront the limits and the really dark contradictions.
This is so important. For all their talk of democracy and science, there was a very real elitist and sometimes coercive side to the movement.
A very dark side. Think about Prohibition. That was pure progressive moralizing, imposing one group's values on the entire country. And then there's the catastrophic moral failure on race.
Woodrow Wilson, a leading progressive, actually resegregated federal government offices.
He did. And even more disturbing was how many progressives embraced the pseudoscience of eugenics.
The idea that you could improve the human race through selective breeding.
Yes. They advocated for horrific policies like forced sterilization and racist immigration laws, all in the name of scientific social planning. It's the ultimate paradox.
That's faith in science to fix the economy led to amazing things.
Yeah.
But that same faith, when applied to people, led to monstrosities, a really chilling warning.
Which leads us right into the core lessons that Nugent wants us to take away from all this. There are about three big themes.
Okay, what's the first one?
Theme one is just the adaptive capacity of American democracy. Progressivism showed that our institutions aren't static. They can evolve. They can reform themselves to survive huge shocks like industrialization.
So democracy isn't brittle. It can bend and change.
Right. And theme two is the transformation of government's role. This is probably the biggest legacy. Government went from being this passive, distant thing to an active agent responsible for the public welfare.
It set the stage for everything that followed right up to the New Deal and beyond.
And finally, theme three, the one we keep circling back to, the paradox of efficiency and democracy.
The constant tension.
The tension between wanting the people to rule, you know, with direct primaries, but also believing that really complex problems need to be managed by unelected experts. The head of the Fed, a city manager.
You're not elected, but they have immense power. And that debate over their power, that's still at the heart of our politics today.
So let's try to boil some of these big ideas down into memorable takeaways. First idea, progressivism was not one coherent thing. It was a sprawling, diverse, and messy collection of reforms. So if anyone tries to label it simply, they're missing the point.
Right. It wasn't a single campaign. It was a dozen different crusades all happening at once.
Second big idea. They were trying to save capitalism and democracy from themselves. They weren't revolutionaries. They were reformers who saw regulation as a way to create stability.
They were trying to fix the system, not tear it down.
Exactly. And the third idea is that core paradox. The faith and expertise created this permanent tension between democratic control and efficient government. And we are still living inside that tension.
So let's make this really concrete. How does this history apply to our lives right now?
Well, first, it's the context for almost all modern policy. When you hear people debating whether to break up Amazon or Google, that's a trust-busting debate. It comes directly from the progressives.
The same language, even.
It also provides a kind of civic engagement blueprint. The work of the muckrakers, of grassroots organizers like Jane Addams. It's a timeless model.
How so?
Factual, compelling exposure of what's wrong, combined with dedicated grassroots organizing, it shows that it is possible to challenge entrenched power.
And finally, there's the lesson of nuance.
Yes. Nugent's balance take, showing the good and the horrific, like eugenics. It teaches us that no reform movement is pure. You always have to ask, who is this policy helping? Who is it leaving out? And what are the unintended consequences?
For me, the lasting thought is really seeing progressivism as this ongoing American tradition. It's a reminder that our society can fix itself, it can adapt, but it only happens through that messy, difficult, sustained work of engaged citizens.
And I think my final thought is on that promise and peril. Progressivism showed the incredible promise of using state power to protect people. But it also revealed the profound peril of what happens when a belief in scientific management becomes coercive and inhumane. The challenge they left for us is, how do we use the expertise without losing the democracy?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.